Good evening, everyone. This is the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, Finance and Public Safety Committee meeting on Thursday, August 22nd at 5:55 p.m. Can we please rise for the pledge? Can we have the roll, please?
Robin Falcioni Spliss.
Here.
George Kurtica.
He's excused.
Sarah Vadomsky.
Here.
Okay, the record should reflect there is a quorum present.
Thank you. Number four, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda. I have a couple of items. Deleting items 6 through 9 and adding new item 15, WPCA request for bid waiver, and then adjusting adjournment to item 16. And just to note, there are two bid waivers, so we will have the bid waiver referencing $59,460 as item A and $120,000 as item 15B. Is there a motion?
So moved.
And by Robin and second by myself. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Number five, public portion. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak? Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak? Third and final, is there anyone from the public who would like to speak? Hearing none, public portion is closed. Item 10, bond refinancing. Discussion and possible recommendation to the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen on the refinancing of City Derby bonds. I'm going to make a motion to move this to the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen for a presentation by our finance director. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Number 11, opioid settlement funds distribution. Discussion and possible recommendation to the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen on the distribution of opioid settlement funds in the amount of $66,000 for the past 2 years. Mr. Stepp. Your second. Yeah, thank you.
Madam Chair, my name is John Sacku, citizen and also director of the Derby Youth Service Bureau. I'm not sure how familiar the committee is or the board is concerning the opioid remediation funds. These are funds that were a result of the tragic overdose deaths in this country brought on by a big pharma's promotion of opioid painkillers. I want to say first that I've with the Youth Bureau is the primary prevention agency in the city, as it is throughout the state, and I've served on the opioid task force, the Valley Task Force, for a number of years, which is led by BH Care and their prevention arm, the Alliance for Prevention and Wellness. Subsequently, after this lawsuit, the settlement funds are distributed throughout communities in the country, and that's done by some calculator per capita and also by need. Connecticut has a huge need, and our area has one of the highest incidents of overdose in Connecticut. Connecticut has ranked sixth in the nation for the last 10 years in overdose deaths. It's tragic. The last 10 years, Connecticut has lost 12,866 deaths. Recently, our finance director, Mr. Hall, approached me asking me if I knew about the opioid remediation project, and I'm very familiar with it. I knew Derby had money, but no one had approached me on it. He did approach me on this and mentioned that Derby had some $33,000 this year, and asked if I'd be interested in leading that charge. I said, sure, I would. I'm very familiar with it. That's what I do. Every city has to have a remediation task force, and that's led by the Opioid Settlement Advisory Committee by the state of Connecticut. So we brought together, I think, a meaningful task force, Youth Bureau, law enforcement, Deputy Chief Grogan, and the Ambulance Corps with Captain Tom Leonard as our task force. We have had our meetings and determined how we would spend this $33,000, which, by the way, I'll give you a copy of this as well. This outline is okay. Good. All right. So what I've done is primarily we work with the Youth Bureau works with primary prevention. I have on the first sheet, on the second sheet, actually, I've outlined some of the remediation uses that's outlined by the state's remediation, opioid remediation task force plan, and outlined the ones that are appropriate for us. We have the distribution of naloxone or any other drug that's approved for opioid overdose. And the ambulance uses a lot of this. Also, our police department uses this. Our ambulance uses more and more Narcan, and unfortunately, it's not getting better. Many times, a patient will refuse transport because after the Narcan is administered, they come around, but many times they can relapse because there's no way to tell how much opiates are in the system. So we allocated $10,000 for the Narcan, a nasal spray for the ambulance corps. Very necessary. We were very low. The rest of these, I've outlined two multimedia ad campaigns for awareness and education. And we have an ad campaign with Valley Transit. That is through Transad Rolling Stock, coming through our valley. And these campaigns will run for about 4 months for the next number of years that we get the funds, if it's approved. And that's $8,000 for that fleet. And we already have the artwork ready to go with that. Then we're working with Outfront Studios. They're a advertisement campaign agency. Their office is in New Haven, and they handle all the billboards in this area. And so we have that multimedia campaign along, which is the bulk of the $15,000 on the bottom. That's about $14,000. Also, there are things that we already do. For example, we have a drug take back program with law enforcement. I work with Deputy Chief Grogan on that twice a year, and which is very successful in getting drugs off of the streets. So that program, all those programs are $14,000. The other $1,000 is for literature that I use. I do all of the prevention work in the schools, in the middle school and the high school and the health departments concerning all drugs, alcohol, and also mental health. So I'll use some of that money for literature for parents and so forth. So that's the total of the $33,000. I believe the ambulance already had allocated the $10,000 for the Narcan. So that leaves the other $23,000 to be allocated to the Youth Bureau to pay for these campaigns. Both campaigns, multimedia campaigns, will last about 4 months. And if there's any questions you might have, I'll answer them.
So what exactly is included in these campaigns?
Okay. The multimedia campaign, the trans ad, these are ads that you see on Valley Transit buses. Those buses will have ads on them, okay, involving like messages about the importance of Narcan, keeping your pills safe and secure at home, various primary prevention methods. The other campaign through Outfront Studios are billboards, and they're strategically laid out. We have billboard on Route 34 here, Pershing Drive, Route 34 on this side. So there's, I think, 7 billboards in town.
And then I guess my other question is, are the monies used? Are there more like educational opportunities for, you know, in school, whether the middle schools, high schools, more opportunity for funding to be, you know, funneled that way?
Yeah. So I write grants for the Youth Bureau. That's how I get my money for prevention. So I have my budget. I'm in the schools every day in the health classes. So part of this budget is going to be used for literature that I have. My programs at the schools are already paid for. I get those paid for through my grants through the state of Connecticut. So there's a lot of education that's going on from a 6th, 7th, 8th grade right through high school concerning all of these drugs and the emerging issue with the fentanyl and the illicit drugs coming across the border. So yes, there's a lot of education. I also provide the education for our staff, our school staff, and parents.
The question that I have is, do you think that the money spent on the Valley Transit, who is that targeting? What demographics or?
Yeah, primarily it's targeting parents. Driving awareness is huge in this campaign to educate people concerning what is going on with substance use and the illicit drugs coming across the market. So this targets primarily parents and helping them to take a message about being safe at home with their drugs and being aware, more aware of their children and the time that they're spending. So awareness is a huge part of any campaign. Education, we have direct education in the schools, but multimedia campaigns are effective and vital in this approach from a big picture standpoint in our community.
Just to piggyback off Robin's question, I'm wondering, you know, for, I don't even know if it's possible, is there a way to target parents and whatnot through, are there ways to purchase advertising that'll be, you know, on their computers, on their phones, through social media, you know, where they're seeing it as an ad as, what people, you know, are looking at the most and where we might, you know, be able to reach.
We put this ad campaign together because of demographics and data that shows how many thousands of cars pass through these areas. But there's no doubt that we can do other things as well. When it comes to multimedia ad campaign, you can't just do a little bit. You have to cover it in a much broader way. Otherwise, you don't get the message out. Certainly, we can augment that. I certainly have the money already to do that as well. And I'm open for any suggestions and any other ideas to get the message out to parents. We already do that through the school system. Now, I'm at the central office every day, and we send messages out to parents. We send literature out to parents. We provide Zoom education to parents concerning these issues and others. So we are hitting the parents, and we'll continue to hit the parents when the opportunities arise. I'm at the schools during open houses. to provide literature and information and answer questions to parents. So parent nights, mailings, we get the message out verbally on the all calls with the school district as well. So we're working hard at that as well. But when it comes to multimedia, there's no way, you know, you can't say, oh, well, I'll put one bus here and just have it run around. You have to saturate it to make to be effective.
How many buses are in the fleet? Do we know? Plus or minus?
Not sure how many buses, but there's quite a lot. There's quite a few. I have it in my office, but there's quite a few buses around. There's 7 billboards that will be involved here. And that, yeah, they'll run for four. The other thing about these campaigns is, which is good, and I've done this before. If no one books that those billboards, for example, when the months are up, mm-hmm. or when the campaign is up, then we get it free mm-hmm. until they book again. So the big issue, big tragedy with these overdoses, and we just have to continue to drive the awareness. You'll see the bus. You see, look at it's just not my idea. You'll see other campaigns on those buses all the time, ad campaigns. So it's very effective. Imagine if you're sitting there behind a bus and you get the message that, hey, you know, keep your pills in a safe place. So there's a lot more to this concerning the problem that occurred with all of this, because so many young people were becoming addicted. The young brain is very, very susceptible to addiction. And when they no longer can buy an oxycodone pill on the street for $20 because they couldn't afford it, the drug cartel decided, oh, we'll start pressing pills in clandestine labs. And oh, by the way, the United States ranks 4th in the world in the demand for illicit drugs. Pretty sad. Connecticut ranks 6th in the country in overdose deaths. Pretty sad. We need to get the word out. Any questions?
Thank you done. So much. Okay. Robin, do you have any other questions?
No, he answered what I was looking for.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for taking time out of your night to be here. Thank you, John, for fighting the uphill battle. Appreciate everything you're doing every day. Then the schools, I'm here on behalf of the police department, Brian Grogan. I'm deputy chief with the police department. We're here to formally request the board's approval to purchase an all-terrain vehicle in we have a multifaceted thing, but amongst other things, but that was the item of contention when it really originally came up. Just quick background on it. My original proposal came out from 22-23 funds that I was informed was allocated to the police department. As far as I'm aware, finance department and the mayor were understanding and they tentatively agreed to it. But for transparency purposes, I fully agree with everything. It went to the Board of Taxation, which my understanding was approved, and then it was deferred again. Transparency, do what's best for the city. So I'm on board. So I'm here tonight. I'm going to talk about everything, pretty much the all-terrain vehicle, as it was the contention. It's a long-term asset for us. By all means, it is not a toy whatsoever. It's going to be money well spent. The primary purpose of getting it is to enhance our operational capabilities, particularly in our rural and off-road areas that are difficult to access with standard police vehicles. So as we all know, we're in Connecticut, small city. Our infrastructure itself is unusual based on its size. It's comparable to the big cities. We have a hospital, we have a court. In the big areas, primary concerns that I'm going to talk about, we have Osborndale State Park, Whittick Park, O'Sullivan's Island, the new fishing pier down there, Greenway system, and the train station. It's often forgot about that the train tracks run a couple miles through town along New Haven Avenue. And while the state parks and Greenway, some of them are overseen by DEEP, we are the primary responders when things are going on in those areas. So a lot of these areas are secluded and not traversable by our traditional police vehicles. So, and these areas of seclusion, as you often you know, they are becoming regular sites for drug use, homeless encampments, and those two problems are primarily linked together. So to reach these and bring resources, we have difficulty getting there, getting on foot when we're looking for people to help. I mean, we're here for drug awareness, reduction, prevention. I mean, we're here to provide services, harm reduction primarily. So these neglected areas, we want to get out there to assist these vulnerable populations within them, to provide not only presence to be seen in these areas, but drug education. We want to provide, some people just don't have the resources. We want to develop a card to hand out where resources are available. Obviously, Narcan, which we all carry anyway, to provide it to the people that need it. And also, a lot of it is to decrease response times. I know my initial proposal for it had some focus on the Greenway, which is an issue for us to get out there. I was just informed, actually, the night of the storm that came through, my guys were down there trying to move get the cars out of there as the water was rising, and there was people out there, but they were unable to get out there. So they think if they had a quicker response vehicle had gone down there to do that, it would have been a little more. It gets extremely muddy, and unfortunately, in the past, police cruisers have gotten stuck when you tried to get through the area. But with that, the ATV, UTV, utility vehicle, we'd be able to bring a variety of medical and life-saving supplies to those areas. And one added benefit is the community engagement part of it. It is non, for lack of a better word, threatening vehicle to look at. A lot of people come up and more inclined to come up and say, hey, what is this? How does it work? And we're able to bring it to our community engagement events. We do touch a truck. The runs through town, a lot of times the officers try to show up at a lot of the things, and it is a tool to bring people towards you, and that would carry a lot of the resources that we have. Again, the Narcan educational supplies for the kids. One of the proposals that I had on the other page was some supplies. Obviously, that's completely available to change anything, but it's just things. In our experience, unfortunately, I know it doesn't work with some places, but the police end of it, a lot of people are not inclined because, unfortunately, a lot of times they see us, it's only a negative experiences. So for us to provide, say, something small as like a cup or some pencil, something to kids, it brings them in, and then we could begin talking to them about this stuff. So back to the UTV, I mean, it's going to improve our response times on the Greenway, Osborne Dale, and those areas that we go to. Enhance police coverage by allowing us to increase our patrol area along the wooded areas and be able to get there to help people. The community engagement, I honestly think, is a big part to draw people in. You want us to be part of the community as we want to be part of it. So the focus on non-traditional police encounters on an informal basis is great for everybody. And with the UTV, it has... With the list, the opioid list of remediation funds, it does comply with it. So it aligns with everything there. I know also the concern about maintenance had popped up about the maintenance of it. We're not going to be looking for an increased budget for routine maintenance for it. We'll manage it within our budget that we currently have. Truthfully, I think the city itself would benefit directly from it. I think it will help everybody. It's a nice thing to bring to events to draw people over to spark conversation. So obviously I'd appreciate the board's favorable consideration into this request. Some of the other stuff we had, John took a lot of the wind out of my sail talking on a lot of the stuff. Thank you for your passionate speech again. The events he spoke about, the drug takebacks, we do the drug takebacks every year, and he could contest to it that they're very successful events. We get a lot of people coming out. Another thing that we could always add is the opioid boxes, where they come in and they drop the unused prescription drugs into the boxes. I mean, drug education, John focuses most of that on the school, but we are completely outside of the school. I'm thinking different community centers, our 55-year-old communities going in there and providing those services, as well as picking up unused medications. The cards with youth services number, the fire department, the local service providers for drug treatment and everything, a lot of it providing these resources, I truly believe would go a long way to help. But so that's all.
Thank you.
That's what I have. I mean, I'm here if you have any questions as far as the stuff, I understand.
Robin, do you have any questions?
Just, do you have any, like, data regarding how many people you would have been able to get to, like, off in those areas?
No, I don't. I never even honestly considered looking to see how often we would go into those areas. I could assure you that it would be regular, proactive patrols would happen in these areas. Wouldn't just be reactive only.
Okay.
Go ahead, Robin. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to tell him I like the idea of reaching out, obviously, to the, you know, like over 50 community mm-hmm. with a take back box. I think, you know, like that's a great idea, not only for the kids, but, you know, the adults as well.
So one of the items we talked about at the previous meeting was the idea of, instead of the UTV having like multiple electric mm-hmm. bicycles. And I know there used to be a bicycle program, police yep. program in the city of Derby. So is that something where, you know, we can get 5, 6, 7 electric bikes that have, you know, the, you know, multiple things that you can put on the back of it mm-hmm. to, you know, and which would, you know, potentially still have that sort of non-threatening community yep. engagement.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I appreciate your idea. I don't think it goes within the confines of the way you could use the money. And I don't feel like these areas that I'm talking about are not bike tracks and stuff. It's stuff that you need a vehicle to get through. Like anything else, if we were to go e-bikes, which we have bicycles now, again, due to manpower restraints and everything else, they're not often used. There's training associated with that. Other thing to think about, if you get e-bikes, now we'd have to find a way to supply power to the shed where all the bikes and everything are. And there's charging and maintenance and training. I believe it's a 2-week class for the bicycle training anyway. Mm-hmm.
And thinking about, again, utilizing it more often than just, you
yeah.
know, for you know, emergency calls or
whatever. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially with the downtown.
Yeah, you know, I understand. I think we could accomplish that with the bicycles that we do have. I'm just truthfully, I'm not really a fan of the e-bike. I mean, it doesn't do what I'm proposing. It does getting us to those areas. It's ideal for the Greenway. But I'm talking about everywhere else that we can't get to, that we regularly get calls to the area. I mean, the UTV, I assure you, it's not a toy whatsoever. There's training associated. Yeah, there's going to be strict policy who could use it, who has to have formalized training, because they do have it for that stuff. But
and you would be using that not only like you said, to go when you get a call, but to do rounds or.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we could use it. We could use it. I know we could use it as a rapid response, but I intend to have it deployed along the Greenway and other areas on a regular basis. So we're seen up there. And again, so we could bring both messaging and supplies to those needed. Cause I'm sorry to repeat myself, but again, with a lot of people don't know that there's help out there or are willing to get it until it's physically presented to them. And the same thing with being in people's houses. John sees the kids in the school. We see them on the outside basis. They might be a little more inclined to take a card or something we're giving to them if we pull up on something that's, again, a lack of a better word, mm-hmm. non-threatening, like inviting vehicle to walk up to.
Any other questions, Robin?
No, he answered everything for me. Thank you.
Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
So I do have one question. So I'm just not sure. So as I'm going through the paperwork, so with the opioid funds, the drug education and prevention supply, was that with his or with Mr. Sackhues? Who's
both?
The 4,500 was for both of them.
No, that was police only.
I'm not sure.
Okay, thank you. It was the t-shirts and the more for the kids, I think.
Yeah, that was the police.
Okay. And then would I be able to ask John one more question, or did he leave? Or
he's right here. Come on up.
Okay. with the media campaign, is that brought up by a consultant with you? How does that come about?
Well, the media companies themselves have consultants concerning their campaigns. So I'm not sure what your question is.
So to come up with the billboard and...
Oh, the billboard, yeah. The ad companies have their own artists. They have their own individuals who do the graphics. Plus, I get a lot of the graphics from Demas, for example, where we don't have to create new graphics. These are already graphics that are proven to work. And the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services provides these at free of charge. So these are ads that that are proven to work. And so that's how we get that done.
Okay. And you don't have to pay for the consultant. No. Okay. That was my last question. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Robin. I'm like, one more question for Mr. So with these funds, are you able to take a look at potential, again, kind of social media e-advertisements through?
No problem in augmenting that. I can find out what will be effective. I mean, it's, I think these messages are out there on social media, but certainly I'm not on social media. So that doesn't mean that primarily I use the school district's website.
Right.
To get these messages across to parents. I'm concerned about my community
mm-hmm.
here and getting this information out because we have a growing issue. So my job is to understand emerging threats to this community. I work with HIDA, the Drug Intelligence Agency out of New Haven. Robert Rowlands, a drug intelligence officer. So we know what drugs are coming across, what they are, and how they're getting here, and how I could best administer that information and education to our parents and our school district to keep our kids safe. Every year we end up transporting kids. We just end up transporting two kids this year with serious side effects from the drugs, psychotic effects. So my job is to identify this and get the word out. So this is a multi-media approach, a multidisciplinary approach to this. So we handle the schools in one way, and that is through their website. We do it in the classroom. And now this is a multimedia, and we also do the parents' education, and again, the educators themselves as well. We need to get the word out in a broader way to get the message out and how important this is. Okay.
Thank you. Okay. I know Mr. Kurtica was not here last minute, and he had a few questions. So I am going to make a motion to table until the next meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thank you. Number 12, Registrar of Voters Wage Request, Discussion and Possible Recommendation to the Full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen on a Wage Adjustment for the Registrars of Voters. This was a request made by our current registrars to have the wage increase in line with the City of Derby contract. Right, is that what we, Mr. Clerk, sent City of Derby?
Yeah, well, I was never made aware of it. I think it went through the finance director. I've not had direct communication on it.
Is that, I'm sorry, is that
in the past? Union, yeah, it would be the City Hall. The City Hall City Union Hall, increases. Yeah.
Union. And this, from previous finance committee meetings years ago, it is my understanding that the wage increases are upon the year of election and every 2 years after that. You know, Attorney Petrilli?
Yeah, I'll just jump in on
sure.
this.
Thank you.
So the registrar voters are elected officials, correct?
Yes.
So there's a state constitutional provision that deals with wage increases during a term. There's case law, Connecticut Supreme Court, Mandanese versus Scalo. What I would like to do is to ask that this be tabled at this time.
Okay.
I wasn't sure what this was. If they're looking for it now, what I'd like to do is be able to go back and refresh my recollection. I've given opinions on this over the years and take a look and see if the registrars are indeed eligible for a, is this midterm for them, wage increase? What is this? What is this request? The new term starts in January. So this is a request for the new term?
The new term starts in January.
And this is a request for the new term?
I have not seen the request. So,
if it's during the elected official's term, that is complicated. Usually what is done, way back when in Derby, there was the Merrill Pay Ordinance, which would set it, you know, forward, not during the term. So what I'd like to do is just ask that this be tabled for the time being.
Okay.
So I can get understanding as to what the request is.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at the Connecticut constitutional provision and say what can be done and what can't be done.
Okay. Okay, for item 12, is there a motion to table?
So moved.
By Robin, second by Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, number 13, Derby Senior Center. Discussion and possible recommendation to the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen on staffing at the Derby Senior Center. Is there anyone here from the Derby Senior Center?
Yes. Good evening, members of the Finance Board. I'm Dawn Heber. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I'm here to request hiring a part-time office clerk. I currently have an assistant who works 20 hours as the assistant, and she also works 8 hours as the kitchen manager. I'd like to have her do just one position, and then I could hire a new kitchen manager and a part-time office clerk that would increase the coverage. This used to be two full-time positions, the director and the assistant, but due to a hiring freeze at that time, I was only able to promote within. And that is how I wound up having my kitchen manager do 20 hours as the assistant. So with what I have to work with now, I'm In my opinion, I think that this would work out having two part-time. It would increase the coverage and ultimately give me more hours so that it'll cover time off periods. And that's what I'm proposing. Do you have any questions?
And this reorganization is within the budget presented this year?
Yes.
Okay. Robin, any questions?
No questions.
Okay, I will make a motion to recommend to the full, a positive recommendation to the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, on the staffing at Derby Senior Center as presented. Is there a second?
A second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That'll be at the full board meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, number 14, Fire Marshal, request to add a per diem fire inspector, discussion and possible recommendation to the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen. Is there anyone here to present? Okay, with none, I will ask for a motion to table.
So moved.
By Robin, second by Sarah. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, item 15, WPCA request for a bid waiver. 15A, we are referring to the waiver request for $59,460. Is there someone here to present?
Hi, sir. Steve Iacone. Mr. Abel wasn't able to attend, so he asked me to step up and ask any questions you have. For housekeeping, if you want the $59,000, if you considered calling it the remote terminal unit 20, I believe that's the panel, it's the replacement. And the other is the Neuros air blower. And I'll make sure he reflects that on the paperwork for the Alderman. So you don't have to just refer to the dollar amounts.
Sure. What was the second one, Steve?
It's the Neuros air blower.
Okay.
It covers for the aeration tanks.
Okay, thank you. And do you just have any information on these?
I mean, I can answer whatever you want. The first one, the RTU 20, or the remote terminal.
Steve, Mark just told me that Ed is on now.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hello, can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
I will do my best. I keep dropping service where I'm at right now, but I am here.
Okay. Do you just want to just quickly talk about the bid waivers?
Sure. Well, is there one specifically you'd like me to start with?
The terminal unit 20.
Okay, so we put in a request for a bid waiver for the amount of $59,460 under the city charter section 55 to replace and upgrade the Influent Pump Station Control Panel Remote RTU. The current one that we have is over 25 years old. It's old, it's antiquated. They don't make parts for it anymore, if you can find parts for them at all. The organization that we use, Aaron and Associates, has been working with Derby WPCA for over 25 years. They're our go-to organization for all of our system integration, processing, data acquisition, and everything that we have. The concern is that if we go out to bid, the majority of the plant right now and all four of our pump stations that were recently built are all integrated with their software and their systems. If we were to go with, if we went out to bid and a different organization was to win the bid, now we're going to have two different organizations with their data running the plant. And for security purposes, we're also going to have two different organizations that will be able to remote access any piece of a critical infrastructure of the Derby WPCA.
Okay. And do you want to go through the second request?
Absolutely. The second request is a bid waiver not to exceed the amount of $120,000 for the second phase of the blower emergency repairs under the city charter section 55. In May 9th, 2024, the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen approved the bid waiver for the first phase of the blower replacement. We had our main plant blower, which went down. Our redundant backup blower was over 25 years old and it was in pretty rough shape and it already went out on us once. We got the approval to purchase a new blower, and that blower was recommended by our WPCA engineers that this was the blower that was going to be used for all of our system upgrades and our full plant upgrade. It was also discussed at that meeting that we would need to get a second blower to replace the older one to have a better, reliable backup once the first one is installed. The first one came in, it was installed, it was operational for about 2 weeks. We had a power outage at the plant, which did something to the old backup blower, and it's inoperable now. It will cost more to repair it than it would be to buy the second blower. So because this is the company and organization that we're going to use, it's already one blower that we bought. We're looking for a bid waiver so we can buy the second one.
Okay, thank you. Item 15A, do I have a motion to recommend to the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, the WPCA request for bid waiver for the Terminal Unit 20 in the amount of $59,460? Is there a motion?
Yes, so moved. Was that for the first one, or are you combining them?
The first one.
One.
Motion by Robin. I'll second that motion. Any discussion, any questions on that, Robin?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, item 15B. Can I have a motion to recommend to the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, the WPCA request for bid waiver for the Neuros blower in an amount not to exceed $120,000.
Make the motion.
By Robin. Yeah. Second by Sarah. Any discussion?
Set up any home kit accessories.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, item 16. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
By Robin, second by Sarah, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. At 6:44 p.m. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. We appreciate it.